I have a strong desire to learn the truth. There's agendas, there's propagandas. I'm going to do the heavy lifting, and then I'm going to give you the facts, and you do whatever you want with them. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to take our power back. Okay, so anyways, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Get Real News Hour with Mike Murphy. Sorry if we had a little technical problem there. We're coming to you live from Northern Kentucky and right off of the across the river to Cincinnati, Ohio. We're up and playing in a golf tournament this week. It's been an unusual week for us. Monday, Labor Day, so we did a pre-record and we brought you the creation frequency. Three people using it to manifest for their dreams. So I hope you enjoyed that show. If you didn't catch it, it's archived on Mike Murphy Unfiltered YouTube channel or Mike Murphy. Brought to you by Transformation Talk Radio. We're on Spotify and you can find us on the internet. So we're here tonight and we're coming to you live from Walt's Hitching Post in Northern Kentucky. Good friend here, Walter. We're excited that you're with us here tonight. And we're really going to cover the news in a unique fashion tonight. And so I want to modify today's show. It's September 9th, 2020. It's Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific as we come to you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, each and every day. So anyways, I want to cover a story that I saw yesterday and I posted on Facebook. And it had to do with governments around the world were able to order COVID-19 tests back in 2018. So I've been saying now for the past 8-9 weeks we've been on the show that this is a plandemic and a scamdemic. And now it's coming out that it really is. And that in 2018, you could order a COVID-19 test and that says it all, gentlemen. And so I think people are waking up to this truth. And I know on September 15th of this month, have a no mask day where people are going to say protest and not wear their mask. I just took mine off. I find it interesting that we have to, I came into this restaurant here tonight. I have to wear a mask to walk about 20 feet to my table and then I can take my mask off. So it must be a super smart virus that knows that, you know, it's not going to attack you. You're free. So anyways, you see my sarcasm there. So anyways, I am super excited to be back in Cincinnati, Ohio. I grew up here and from age 6 to 16 until I moved to California and became a crazy person. Back here, people are grounded, salt of the earth, and I'm here with some really good friends tonight. And I'm going to ask them some questions as we go around the table tonight. I'm just not sure who can hear me, who's on the line right now. So I'm going to take a look. But I would like to see right now. So who is? Because everybody left. I don't even know who to ask a question. David, can you tell me who's on the phone? Is any of my friends on there?
There's no one on the phone at the moment.
Okay, so we're going to keep going with the news. Oh, they got you. Make them aware of that that they're going to phone back in because I really want today's show. I want to be real news, real talk, real folks. And we're going to come Ohio vantage point of what it's like in Ohio. We know what it's like in California where I live. We read the news reports of other cities. But Midwest is different. You know, I grew up here, and I find it a very interesting. I mean, I just love this place. We played golf here in Cincinnati today. We're going to play 2 days in a tournament. For you guys that follow the show, you know I love golf. I travel all over. We're going to be in Montana next day, Tuesday, Wednesday, so I'll be coming to you live from Montana. I really want to get people's perspective because, you know, I think I'm somewhat biased in how I see the news, and I just want to know if other people are seeing it the same way as me. So we have the COVID-19 kind of blowing up and people are, I think most people from what I read and research are against this vaccination. And maybe, you know, they're already having problems. Moderna just had a person got a very, very severe spinal fluid problem. And so backed off. So Trump's been have this thing by the, election. Now they're talking the first quarter of next year. And so shows. Like, we did a whole special on the documentary Vaxxed and Vaxxed 1 and Vaxxed 2. And so all the proof that I have is that these vaccines aren't going to work and they're going to cause more harm than good. And so let's just say the virus is just a flu virus, okay? And then we already have a flu vaccine. And so this stuff doesn't really work for us. So with all that said, we have to really guard against our health. And so that's where I find it interesting that all these procedures, the wearing the mask, the social distancing, the staying out of the sun, it's all detrimental to our health. And I just saw where two young kids got very, very, very sick. And because they were wearing their mask all day at school, they were 2 8-year-old kids. And so they got very sick. They thought it was COVID-19. They had the test. And then it comes out that it wasn't COVID-19, that because they're wearing these masks for 6 hours a day at school, they got a bacterial infection. So you have to understand the difference between bacteria, which is a real living organism. You can see it. You can watch it move under a microscope. And a virus that you really can. A virus is kind of a phantom thing. Really, all my research and all my studies says that our body makes a virus and it becomes like a cleaner of our system. And that's why, you know, we get colds, and because our cells become toxic, they excrete an exome, which is a virus. It goes through the body and cleans it. It gives us a fever and we get well. And so that's natural. Bacteria is different. So when these kids are wearing these masks for 6 hours a day, breathing in their own stuff that's coming out of their system and back into their system, these two children got very, very sick with a bacterial infection. And this is becoming more and more obvious as we go forward with this wearing these masks, which are really bad for our system. And then staying out of the sun, social distancing. We social animals. We need each other, and we need vitamin D, and that comes from the sun. So through having some technical difficulties here, and I just want to cover a few news stories. So this came out of a school in, I want to say, Ville. So the children were given a note from the school that said, hey, these are the things that your children can't wear to school, okay? And one of them was the American flag. And that's mind-blowing to me. You know, when I was a kid growing up right here in Cincinnati, you know, we used to pledge allegiance to the flag every day, you know, and me a whole little thing with a flag and the Pledge of Allegiance, put it on my wall in my bedroom so I could memorize this and go every day and say it. And it's just crazy, right? So I just find it very, very interesting that what's happening in this country politically. So let's say COVID-19 is going to go away and they're going to offer this vaccine that we can or cannot have. But what's going to happen with this election? So this is a lot of conversation now. It is going to probably win on election night, I think, in probably a good amount of number. And then they're going to have all these mail-in ballots. And then Biden, 2, 3, 4 weeks down the road, is going to become, what's that? Timeout, ladies and gentlemen.
It hasn't started yet on their phone, so why didn't you
Yeah.
Next to you and talk.
Yeah. So you guys can't dial in?
No, they can't.
We're having technical difficulties. Okay, come on back. We're going to go another route. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, we're having some technical problems with friends from Cincinnati phone in. No, it's not working. Zoom has had a big bounce in the stock lately. Is not doing well today. So let's just all sit down and let's have dinner. We're going to reboot this show. We are live, by the way. And I am blessed to be here tonight. Of course, my lovely wife, Sarah, is here with me. She goes everywhere with me on these golf trips and puts up with me. So God bless her. So the first guy that I met in the room is Tim G. We're going to use aliases, TG. And so the reason I befriended him in about the third or fourth grade is he was the stud quarterback, the stud pitcher, and had all the girls. I need to be my friend. So we played sports together a long period of time. He went on to pitch for the Ohio State Buckeyes, and I went on to clean toilets at juvenile hall. So we kind of went different career paths. And his lovely lady, Tammy, who's from Charlotte, North Carolina, is with us as well tonight. So welcome. Then the second person that I met here after I met Tim, moving from Cincinnati, is TD. And TD works for a law firm called Dewey, Cheatham & Howe. And so he's about 3-4 years old. And he was the guy at Kroger, Ohio, and he stocked the shelves. But he was 3-4 years older than me. And when I was about 14, you can drink here when you're 18 in Ohio. And so we became good friends because he would charge me $5 to buy me a 12-pack of Stroh's Fire Brew. Anyways, long story short, we all played golf today. We had a great time. And so TD taught me a lot of things being older about life. And then when I would run away from home, my dad would recruit him to help find me. And so we have a long history like that. And my other dear friend is with me tonight is CJ. And we was 15. CJ was 16. His father used to work for my father, Procter & Gamble, and he moved here to Cincinnati. And I fell in love with CJ because he had a car. And here's a funny story about that. He had a 1959 Volkswagen Beetle. Okay. And so I did everything a young man does in a car in the back of that seat of that 1959 Volkswagen Beetle. And we had a lot of fun in that. But what's seen is that fast forward to 1995, I meet a guy in California and I'm selling cars. And he has a Chrysler Volvo story falls on me. And so we make a lot of money. Because Mike, Volkswagen is going to come out with a new Beetle. And if you ever find a store we can buy, let's buy it together. So as God would have it and grace would have it, we ended up finding a Volkswagen store in Oakland. We buy it 24 years ago, 2 years before the Beetle comes out. We're not making any money. It's not any fun. And all of a sudden, Volkswagen reintroduces the new Beetle. And my life has never been the same. So I love the Beetle, but I love CJ and his beautiful wife, Terry. I was at their wedding how many years ago? 31 years ago. So I knew CJ when he could actually see. No, he couldn't see until today. We played golf. He can't see. Which really wouldn't be that concerning other than he's an airline pilot. And I'm like, I'm not mentioning which airline, but but don't fly that one. So I don't know how we're going to do this where we can hear you guys, but we're just going to pass it away. They'll be able to hear. We'll pass the microphone. How's that? So I'm just curious, and anybody can go with this, but you guys are here in Cincinnati, and what's cool about Cincinnati, Timmy was born here. CJ moved here when he was 60, and people don't leave here. I mean, I left because my dad made me leave. Otherwise, I'd probably still be here. I'd probably be stocking shelves at Kroger's right now, you know. But life always takes us in a different direction. But I'm just curious, in the Midwest here, let's stay on COVID-19 and mask and all that. It's, how do you guys feel about it? I mean, well, so Timmy, you and I talked about it in the car. How do you say it?
Mike, I don't know. It's really tough to explain, but in the Midwest, we're very, you know, laid back. And this COVID-19, to me, is nothing more than a virus. We take flu shots. It's a flu. Okay?
Yeah. Let me ask you this. But when you're here, I mean, I know you go back and forth between Charlotte. I mean, how has it affected you personally?
Oh, it's. I just recently retired, which is awesome. But it's made you a little bit low key. You stay in a little bit more, okay? You dine in instead of dining out, okay? You go to the market, you wear the mask. You get out of the market, you take the mask off. Yeah. You go to the restaurant, like you said earlier, you put the mask on for 15 seconds, and then it comes off, okay? Right. This mask, I'd love to be selling masks, okay? But, you know, that's the way it is.
But how's it going to end, in your opinion?
I think it's.
Or is it going to end?
I wish I knew that. Okay. But I think it's going to end with the vaccine. And, you know, our lovely president said, just wait, it's going to disappear. And God, we all love him, right?
Well, I don't Wait, we don't know that can of worms, but
well, no, we're not going to go there, Mike.
But a lot of people love him, and a lot of people hate him. Let me ask you this about Cincinnati. So I can tell you this: where I come from, it's like it's. I think it's split like 30 pro Trump, anti Trump. There's a lot of Trump haters, and it, well, you know, I have friends that are both. I don't know if there's any Trump haters in this world or in this room right now, but how do you view that? This hate for Trump, I'm sure you have a lot of people hate Trump, and then there's a lot of people MAGA 2020.
You know, that'd be a better question to answer for our good friend TD.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'd like to pass the mic to him because okay. He's much, much better.
Okay. We're gonna come back to how we cheat him and do him.
Do we cheat him?
Do we cheat him? But I want to, because pass this microphone down to, I guess I got to be heard too. But okay.
Oh, here's, hey, this guy.
Okay. Sarah's got it going.
Okay. My wife's really smart. She knows talent when she sees it. So we have TD from Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. And believe me, they do, folks.
Glad to be here, Mike.
So this guy, he's one of a kind. But Tim, elaborate on this subject for me. COVID-19, Cincinnati, how do you see it? Where's it going? Is it, what's the end game?
You must respect it, COVID-19. I do know that.
Because we had this conversation on the golf course because he has a heart condition. I have a heart condition. And so he's coming to a place where says, hey, you know, it's real. You can get sick. And if you're compromised, you can die. Right?
Yes.
Am I hearing you correctly? Right. And so based on all that, now that it's been 6 months and they've shut down the country and now they're starting to gradually grow. Based on all that, how do you see it?
We've been here before.
Tell me.
My father would be 103 tomorrow. And he was born 1917. And 1917, 1918, we had a flu then.
Spanish flu. Mm-hmm.
And my aunt is 92 years old now and told me the first 2 years of his life, guess what? Pictures of my dad, people were wearing masks.
Yeah, I've seen them. So that's an interesting conversation. I've covered this in the show, and I know you don't listen to my show because you're busy down there, doing them, cheat them, and how. But there's a lot of speculation that flu started with a vaccination where they vaccinated the soldiers before they go to fight World War I. So I don't want to go down that road right now with you, but I will say.
Nor do I.
But I will say this. So because I respect you and I respect your opinion that we have to respect this virus, right? But we just played golf together. We came within 6 feet of each other. Neither one of us had a mask. Did you feel like your life was in danger?
No.
Okay. And why?
Hygiene, for okay. one. I mean, when I'm done playing golf today, I clean my hands.
I know, but I haven't cleaned my hands in like weeks. So we got
critical. I'm moving away.
You see why I love Cincinnati so much, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, these are real people, real talk, real news. The Mike Murphy News Hour. No, good. Hey, you ain't going nowhere yet. I'm not going this guy. Okay. So we're going to switch gears because COVID-19 is. I can't believe I brought up this fucking 19. Excuse me, 1918. But we talked on the golf course today because he really is a financial planner. He does a great job of doubling, tripling people's money. What, 2, 3, 4 days? I can't remember. So, but you said something interesting to me. You talked about negative interest rates, and how do you see, as people that invest, as a guy that invests people's money, how do you see it going forward? I mean, the stock market, negative interest rates. How do you see all that?
I can't comment on that at this point in time.
No, seriously.
Well, we're at an all-time low, and I don't think people realize that in the United
all-time
States.
All-time low. Say that again. Like, what do you mean by
history
that?
Of the United States. We're at all-time lows. Mm. At this point.
Did not know that.
And people, I mean, we're at the bottom. The next move is negative.
Yeah. And what's that going to mean?
Sorry.
What's that going to mean to you? And I know you're getting close to retiring, but you're going to give it to your son. So how's that going to affect his? You know, when interest rates are negative, and the stock market seems to be like a bubble to me. How do you see all this playing?
That's for people far smarter than me, trust me. But I mean, this is, when you look at it, since our son was born, he's 41 years old. Rates have been coming down for the last 40 years, 40 plus years.
Yeah.
We got married in 1976, and the best rate back then was 7%, but it ballooned to 14, 15% 10 years later when you went to look for another house. And since then, I mean, everything has been coming down. 30-year loan today, people can get under 3%, right?
Yeah.
So it's we hopefully at the bottom.
But Timmy, you and I were taught, okay, do this, take your money, and the magic of compounding interest, we retire, we're good to go. We did all that, and now the magic of compounding interest is working in, really?
It's
working
backwards. You're such an economist.
I'm a lot smarter than I look. But seriously, okay, I'm a 30-year-old guy, and where do I put my money? Where do I put my money?
You tank your 30.
I stand corrected. I have a 30-year-old wife. Where does she put my money when I'm dead?
That's a good question. You still have to have a good allocation.
No, but seriously, I mean, you do this for a living. Where?
It'll come back. Inflation's starting to creep in.
Yeah.
We're talking about metals today.
Yeah. Okay. So, but I read today an article that inflation go to 10%. What's that going to do to the middle class?
I don't think we see that quite some time. You know, not in the next 2, 3, 4 years, 5 years.
Really?
Not what I think. What other people think.
How about food? Food's going through. My wife and I just traveled from Palm Springs to the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. We stopped at McDonald's. Two people. McDonald's, $40.
What?
Next stop.
What'd you order?
Nothing much. We don't eat much. Okay. And then next day we go in Popeye's, $40. Food is going up. I don't know about here in Ohio. You know, I don't know, but inflation seems to be rising.
It's starting to creep in, and that may save our interest rates to where that follows. In the history of our country, we're at the bottom right now.
Okay. In interest rates.
Yes, sir.
But what about how do we make money with money? You know, it used to be you have money and your money will make money while you sleep. How does it do that today?
My whole working career, you take a look at unemployment.
Right.
And this has been the bottom. And it's probably going to take us 2, 3. I don't know in my lifetime if unemployment will ever get back to 3.4%.
Right.
But in my lifetime, we've lived with between 4.5, 5.4. You know, it's going to take, there's a lot of small businesses that are going to get crushed here.
They've already got it crushed.
Right.
I mean, that's, to me, this is the sadness of what's going on is regular businesses, okay, mom and pop are done, and big box is exploding, Amazon and all that stuff, right? So I think there's a real injustice being played here by design. So with that said, how do you see... I had a really good question for you. You know, I've known this guy since he used to take me out to the golf course and fleece me when I was 14 years old. And now I'm lost.
Teaching you how to hit a ball. And you do a very good job of it today still.
By the way. Yeah. By the way. So, anyways, if any of you are the golfers, I will say this, that TD, who works for Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. I think the secret to his golf swing is he only takes it back to about here. Okay. Most people take back here. He only
it's all
here.
About the takeaway. Yeah.
Kind of like, have you ever played croquet? He played golf like he played croquet. All right, so we're going to move on. I'd like to thank you, Mr. Dunham.
Thank you,
Yeah. Who's next? We're going to have some fun.
Joseph.
Wait. We have David up there in Seattle is coming in with a mic. If you want, you can switch your microphone to the setting lock. Looks like no. Wait, hang on. It's very dark in here. Oh, God. Thank you, David. Okay, everybody should be able to hear. David, give me a note if everybody can hear. All right, so My best friend growing up was CJ Hyde. He's now sitting here, and he is a pilot, but he's retired. So please, you don't have to ever fly on one of his planes. He's not any good. So this guy, I've known him since I was a kid, right? And he told me when he was 17 years old, his life dream was become a commercial airline pilot. And he did it. I mean, he really did it. He went to Miami.
Ohio University, and then after I out, then UC.
Yeah, so he went to Ohio University. He flunked out. He's not the brightest bulb on the tree. And most pilots aren't, by the way, but don't be nervous. And then he went to the University of Cincinnati. And he finally got all that. But what I love about – here's what I love about people that have a passion and they know early. I think if you know early what you want to do in your life, like Tiger Woods knew he wanted to golf. Okay, this guy knew he wanted to fly airplanes, and he did it for a living. He was very successful. He became a captain for Calm Air, which was a division of Delta at one point. And then guess what? You know, and this is what I love about golf, and this is golf is the greatest teacher of life. So here he is, I don't know, I'm going to say 55 years old, 4 kids in college. Delta eliminates Calm Air. And if he wants to go and become a pilot at United or American, the entry salary is 24 grand, and he's got 4 kids in college. And this guy goes to overseas, Indonesia, for 6.5 years away from his family to make a living to put his 4 kids through college. To me, that's not very many people will do that. So let me ask you about that. So what was that? What was that? What was the conversation with you and your wife? Like, this is what we got to do this. What was that like when Calm Air went under and you go, what am I going to do?
My wife always said, we can make it. But you never want her to do your income tax. She never understood finance, and we couldn't make it. So
she was saying you could make it if you stay in Ohio, or
we could
for 24 grand, you can make it on 2 grand.
We can keep the kids in college and stuff, which we had 3. And I was like, we can't do it. So going overseas was a great deal.
I thought you guys had 4 kids.
We do have 4, but 3 were in college.
Oh, she didn't know about the other one. Okay. All right. So, okay, I'm with you. Keep going.
So going overseas was the only option, and it was good money and this type of deal, and you could keep the kids in college. So we did it. So, but it was great because the same token, even though basically you don't have to pay income tax in the United States if you're overseas as an expat and all, if you don't come into the country more than, if you're out of the country 330 days out of the year. So a lot of, we had a
wait,
lot
so
of
you're
out.
Saying if you stay out of the country, so whatever you make, well, you were in Indonesia, right?
Up to a certain amount, which was about $100,000.
Okay.
But when you made over that, you had to pay income tax within the United States. But gotcha. But your first $100,000 was nothing. Social Security, nothing. It's Medicare.
So you were able to go overseas and make $100K without paying taxes. And then.
Yeah, what I always figured when you're overseas, let's just say you made $100,000. You probably were really making $150,000 in the United States. Or if you're making $200,000, you're making $300,000.
Right.
You made a lot more because of the tax breaks.
Yeah.
So we didn't come back home. But the good thing about that was since I couldn't come home all the time, and I was off a lot, we worked 56 days and off 30, the kids, not everybody could meet me, but we would go all over Europe, Asia, and we planned all these vacations, and we traveled like everywhere. And we did it, which we got an airline benefit, so we didn't pay for the flights and stuff. So always, usually 1 to 2 people could make every single trip, and we just went to different locations. So we made the best of it. So it was fun. I wish I would have always stayed home, but it worked out good. We got to see a lot.
So let me ask you this. So you have 4 kids.
Right.
You guys have been married how long?
32 years?
Yeah, 32. Wow.
She said 31, but I know. You know.
And Tim Dunham and his wife, Mary Jo, they've been married 44. Wow. They cheated him in house. He founded that firm. So they're celebrating their 44th anniversary on Friday. I'm 63. My wife is 31. I said, I don't think we're going to catch you on that. But if we do, I'm not going to know about it. Okay. So moving on. So, but I'm curious. Was that stressful for you? When I mean, how did you figure out, honey, I got to go to Asia. I'm not going to see you guys much, and I'm going to work there, pay the bills. What was that like? I mean, that's mind blowing to me.
My biggest comer, when Comer went out, I was working. I was off 18 days a month. I'd go to Colorado Springs on the 12 days that I worked, and I would leave at 1 o'clock. At 10 o'clock. It was the greatest job in the world. I was very senior. I had a really nice lifestyle. I'd go golfing and hit 18 holes. Then I'd take a shower, go to work.
Can I ask you a question? What ball did you play?
Today, I was playing Callaway.
So, folks, listen. Talk to him. Bye, Callaway. Listen. Because if he can play golf every day, we're going to make a bloody fortune. Because that's about 12 Callaways a day. Okay, sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt. So, but I want to know the day you got your pink slip and you got four kids, all about either in college, about ready to go to college or get me, all that, and you have a wife. What was that like?
It was very stressful. Number one on my mind was financial. I wanted to get my kids through college and stuff and do whatever I had to do. I knew I could start over and I probably could recoup within 5-6 years, but I don't know if I could.
But I remember the story correctly. I think you that if I go, I'm leaving Colmar, I'm a captain, I have seniority, I'm making good money. And if I go start over with United or American, the salary is like nothing.
Well, if I was an American Airlines captain, and I've been there 40 years, and American Airlines goes out of business, and I'm 56, 60 years old, I start with Delta, United, whomever, you start as the very junior person. It's unions, and tell you what.
Right.
I can get into the
union. Yeah, no, I really want to get into unions.
But I can get into ALPA. I will talk about ALPA and the unions.
Okay.
ALPA is the airline.
So let's.
But the union would hold you back. Experienced captain or a very experienced in your job. And that's the problem with the industry right now is you could have a really experienced person, which is very, let me say two things. The most very valuable thing in the world when you get a new first officer, which I was, they're green, we're not real good, and you are learning to have an experienced captain. And when a captain's the first, when he becomes experienced first officers, you need at least one really experienced, and you work with the other one, and that's a learning curve, no doubt. But what's the problem with the United States, and that's why I went overseas and stuff, is unions, you experience person, and they're dying for pilots right now.
They were dying for COVID.
They were dying for pilots. We got all these people, but if it's under, nobody in my right mind, I was making decent money with Comair, and I had a great schedule, and there's no way I'm going to start over when I was.
What would you start at United? How old were you when Comair went under?
When I was.
Years old, you go over to United.
Right.
They hire you as a second guy. What would they start you at?
Probably close to what you said, 24,000. I don't know. Today, I don't keep in touch. Now, my son's learning to keep in touch as much now, but 24,000. But you could be making like 185,000 and going to go back to 24.
Yeah,
54.
No, no, you can't. No, no.
So that's why I went overseas.
Yeah. But that's shocking. The air travel, because I just flew here on a scary flight. But yeah, that's really great. So let's talk unions. Okay. So I'm a car dealer.
Uh-huh.
I fought unions forever, and I didn't have a problem. You know, I could have signed a union contract and save $10,000 a month in expenses, but I felt as an employer, so we're going to have two good, because you're an employee, I'm an employer, and my issue was, hey, I don't have a problem signing that, but I want to be able to hire who I want to hire and fire who I want to fire without going through a bunch of hoops.
Right.
So give me your take on the union in the airline industry.
I was with the union with UPS when I was loading trucks in college, and that's totally different. But with the airline union, the one thing I could say is they tried at one time to get a national seniority system. It didn't work in this type of deal. But what it is if there's the airlines are very there's problems with the airlines. They're very frugal, and it's the worst stock ever to buy.
Yeah. Don't buy that, folks. Hey, if you're going to do business with Dewey Cheatham and Howe, don't buy airline stocks.
Airlines.
He's going to recommend them. You say no.
Now, Comair was one of the best airline stocks in the world because every single year it would double, triple, and then it would split, double, triple, and that was our 401k, so that was great when I was with Comair. But Comair did very well, but airline stocks as a whole are very difficult. But the union with ALPA and the airlines unions and stuff, my personal opinion is you're not always getting the best person going forward, and I'm totally against it. And that's why I went overseas. Now going overseas.
Tell me about that. So you went overseas to Indonesia?
Right,
Indonesia. And who did you work for? An airline or a private?
No, I went to Indonesia and I worked for the national carrier Garuda. And then I went to Africa and worked for their national carrier.
Well, you went to Africa.
Yeah, I was Africa after that was Rwanda. And those were the like, I don't know if you remember when, but like there was national carriers, like the national carrier for United States at one time was Pan Am.
So, okay.
But there's a national carrier. But those airlines in those countries, there's one airline in the country or the government, the country owns that airline.
Oh, really?
So I worked for both airlines. They're big airlines.
So are you telling me Pan Am one time owned, like, was the American Airlines?
Yeah.
And then?
Before subsidization.
Okay. Oh, before Reagan.
Right.
Deregulated.
Subsidized deregulation, yes. And the airlines.
Was it better then? Was it better before all this deregulation?
I don't think it was better for the economy, but it was better for probably public safety. I mean, yeah. I think we had more qualified pilots, but it, I mean, the democracy is let whoever goes forward. So I agree with deregulation overall, but I don't agree with the unions. I don't agree with the unions where a company can't hire some guy where his company went out of business and he's 20 years of experience and he's a great, great pilot.
Okay.
He should move into Canada. So.
I want to talk to Terry, CJ's wife, okay, who is still a flight attendant, I just learned today. So when last time we spoke, she was a ticket agent and based here in Cincinnati. I want to say American United. Who?
Delta.
And so Delta wouldn't call Mary, we'll shut it down. So I'm curious. So we fly a lot. And so when this first started, COVID-19, I wouldn't wear a mask. And okay. No one made me wear a mask. Okay. And then they became militaristic. Okay. And now when we took off yesterday from Palm Springs at Denver to Denver to here, there must have been 20 mask announcements. And you're a flight attendant.
Right.
For Delta.
Right.
And tell me what this feels like for you, because I know you're a balance.
Well, I mean, it's a policing. Yeah. I just talked with my girlfriends today because we are, it's taxing.
It's what?
Say it's taxing to constantly cover your nose.
Fuck.
You need to put your mask on, you know, because people fall asleep and they take it off and you have to wake them up, put your mask on. And whether you...
You got to wake people up.
Yeah.
So I'm, I don't have my
mask. If you're asleep by the window.
Wait, I got to do this, folks. Okay. So I'm on your plane, okay, and I'm asleep. You're gonna wake me up and tell me to cover my nose. Oh my god!
I know, and it's whether you believe that the mask works or you don't believe the mask works. There might be a passenger next to you that's scared.
Have you had passengers say to you, "Hey, that some bitch doesn't have their mask on"?
Yeah, all the time.
All the time.
All the time. But there are some people.
Let me ask you something. So you fly what kind of plane?
737.
So 100 passengers.
Airbus,
on average. 321. 100 passengers. So out of 100 passengers, how many are pro-maskers and how many are maskholes?
There's a lot. But I mean, they know getting on board, they have to wear their masks.
Yeah. Shit, everybody in the hospital.
I've heard then. That 250 people have been banned from airlines so far this year for not wearing their mask.
I just read an article today, and I don't think it was Delta, but so they have a
valid airline.
But it was a three-year-old that they couldn't get the two-year-old, and they kicked them off. They canceled the whole flight. Is that insane?
Yeah, I thought there was an age limit.
No, there is. There is. The other two, you're not supposed to. But this kid was like 2.5
Yeah.
And said, yeah. Screw you, mom and dad. I heard it. Okay. And they not only did they kick them off, they stopped the whole flight. How do you, you're a mom of four.
Right.
Yeah. How do you reconcile all this?
I mean, you're asking me as a mom of four.
I want to ask you as a human being. Okay. Human being. That grew up in this free country, mother of four, and now you work for this bureaucracy that's going to give you mandates. But how do you reconcile internally?
It's hard because you know how it is traveling across the country with a kid.
Little
you
kid.
Can't even get them to sit in the seat, much less wear a face mask.
It's heartbreaking.
It is.
You know, we arrived in Cincinnati last night at midnight, and I see these little kids wearing these masks. I just want to scream. You know, I want to scream. What are we doing to these kids?
Well, it cracked me up this my last flight the other day. Every time I went by this kid, and he was probably like 5 or 6 years old, but every time I would walk down the aisle, he would quickly like put his face in his mask, was covering his nose and mouth. I mean, he was so afraid to get in trouble.
Hey, I swear to God, I'm in first class watching Netflix, right? And, you know, I'm like this, and then when I see the bitch, I'm not calling anybody a bitch, but you know what I'm trying to say. You know, it is Mike Murphy Unfiltered, ladies and gentlemen. But I mean, because as a mom, this has got to just tear you up inside.
Yeah.
As a human being, it's got to tear you up inside.
Yeah.
You know, let me ask you one question.
Okay.
So we're in this beautiful restaurant, Walt's Hitching Post, where they cook ribs in the parking lot. And we're in Ohio and Kentucky and all that stuff. Tell me how it makes any sense that we have to wear these masks for 20 feet to walk into this room to dine. It makes no sense, right?
No. A lot of this doesn't make any sense.
Let me ask you this.
Liquor stores are open.
And churches
aren't.
Schools
are not.
And schools aren't, churches aren't. So what's the deeper agenda? Come on.
Comfortable answering.
No one's watching you. They only see me. And I'm taking this off.
I hope and pray that it's not political. I hope that we did not shut our country down for this length of time and destroy so many livelihoods and find out that it's a scam.
And
the CDC has already come out and said 8,000 deaths max.
So what does your gut tell you is what's going on here with this scam, pandemic, whatever it is? So what's your gut say?
I mean, I don't want to be a guinea pig. I don't want to get COVID.
Would you take an injection right now?
I would not take an injection right now.
Would you take an injection right now? We're going to go around the table right now. There's eight of us. Okay. Would you take an injection right now? No.
I need more information.
More information. Would you take an injection right now?
No.
No way.
No.
Right after you did.
Yeah. As long as I die, they're willing to die with me. Mary Jo? Okay.
Well,
listen, ladies and gentlemen, we are normal people. We have children. We have grandchildren. We're old. We grew up in this world, and this is insane. This is freaking insane. And here's what I have to say about all this is this scamdemic, plandemic was to cover up the financial collapse that was coming anyways. It started in September, and they've kicked this football down the road as far as they can, and there's no stopping it right now. And so now this scamdemic didn't work. I'm concerned with the election, the BLM, the Antifa, and where we go from there. So let me ask you this. Yeah, all the people here, Terry, you're probably you probably have the best face for radio.
Very nice.
They say I have a great face. No, best face for TV. I meant I have a great face for radio. You have a great face for TV. I meant to say. So, excuse me.
Folks. But you did.
Well, because, you know. As a mom, as a flight attendant, as a human being, as a person is going to vote, How do you see this election in coming November?
Scares me. It's very scary.
Why?
Well, because I think that, again, if we can go to grocery stores, we can go to liquor stores. Why can't
we? Casinos?
Yes. Casinos. I didn't even know those were open, but I don't see why we can't vote in person.
Yeah. So you think there will be an attempt to make it fraudulent?
I mean, I think that absentee ballots are pretty secure, but mail-in ballots, not secure. Yeah. I don't. Well, that Axios, who was the author or who did the video about Axios, about how they believe he's a political guru, or he said that Trump will win by a landslide on election day.
Yeah.
But then after they count all of the mail-in ballots.
Well, I think that's the trick. So listen. I have to tell you, so in 2016, when Trump won, I think it was a shock to the Democrats and everybody else.
Shock to the Republicans.
And let me just say to the audience right now, I don't care. I really don't think it matters who. I don't call it an election. I call it selection. And say, and this is, so our selection keeps getting worse, okay? And now we have Biden, who's in the basement hiding, and has lost his freaking marbles. And now we got this crazy guy here over Trump, who's become a billionaire twice in America, has a history with women, and is probably and tweets like a crazy madman. Okay, this is our selection. Okay, and that's the best we got. And if I'm the, you know, I live in Medellin, Colombia as well, and those people think we're all crazy. And so, and that's the third world country. Well, believe me, I can't wait to get back there. I hope they open the international borders tomorrow. But think of our selection, Biden and Kamala Harris. Okay, I'm from California. Okay, she has destroyed the African American community. She's not even really an African American. And then Trump over here. I mean, I will say one thing: he's got a good-looking wife. Okay, I applaud him for that. But what is going on with these tweets and all this nonsense, right? And so this is our selection. And then we look at our deadbeat Congress and all these politicians. And Nancy Pelosi, I'm from San Francisco, right? I want to get a haircut. And the guy tried to con me, tried to get me, go to his freaking place, get a haircut. He tried to set me up and get a haircut today. I said, hey, no wash and blow dry for me. Okay. So I didn't fall for it. No, they wanted to bring me in. They said, hey, come in the back door. Give us $50 extra, we'll wash and blow you. I said, well, okay. Well, that's a whole nother story. But anyway, how much time we got left? So I'm glad you guys tuned in. I'm getting 6 minutes from Dewey Cheatham now, which means you have 6 minutes to phone in and get your free evaluation from Dewey Cheatham and Howe, and they will show you how to triple your money in just 3 days. Yeah, I know it's unbelievable, but it's a new cryptocurrency that Dewey Cheatham and Howe just came out with, and you can be a part of that. Anyway, it's probably the end of my channel, end of my show, but we're having a great time. Only 3 minutes. Thank you, David, coming to us from Seattle. I'm at Walt's Hitching Post in Kentucky, about ready to eat my ribs. As soon as the show's over. So we may or may not be coming to you live next week from Montana. If we are, if you think this crew is crazy, wait till I bring these Dallas crazy people and these Louisiana rednecks, and we're going to really have some fun. So my point is this. First of all, I am so blessed to be 63 years old. I am so blessed to have grown up in Cincinnati, Ohio. I am so blessed to have met this guy when I was in the fourth or fifth grade, who was the star quarterback pitcher. So blessed to meet this guy that would buy me 3.2 beer from Kroger. Hey, he didn't actually buy it. He stole it out the back door and stole it to me. And then every once in a while, he'd give me a fake ID, take me to a real bar. And he'd say, hey, when you're a little older, you can meet a real girl like this, but we'll see you tomorrow. Okay. And then so grateful to meet this guy, who showed up in this 59 VW Bug. And, you know, the stories we can tell you, we can't tell you, but someday, hopefully, another channel, not on this network, will be able to tell you. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the world is a mess. We're all responsible, and we're all responsible for the fix. And the fix is this. We need to wake up, okay? It's not right and left. It's not Republican and Democrat. It's wings of the same bird, okay? They're all, neither one of them have our best interest. Our best interest is our spouse, our children, our grandchildren. And if we will wake up and we will embrace love and God, our creator, and say enough is enough. I throw my mask away. I say, hey, you know what? It's time that we take care of each other and quit fighting amongst each other. And we create a world. This world is collapsing. The economic system is collapsing. Everything is collapsing. And when it collapses, we have a decision to make. Can we bring in a new world based on love and community and togetherness, or it might be the end of humanity? Until next Monday, 5 p.m. Pacific, this is Mike Murphy for Get Real News with Mike Murphy Hour, and we'll see you then from Montana, ladies and gentlemen, if we're allowed. Until then, God bless.
You've been listening to Get Real with Mike Murphy. We all need to wake up before it's too late. Learn to question everything, open your mind, and own your power. For more information on Mike and his work, visit MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.